Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
It's in the broadcaster handbook. Inside a month to the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs, we
you
are
had
there.
To check the handbook?
I've got a list of things that I have to say at certain points of the year.
April 19th, baby. April 19th. And now the challenge is, you know when the regular season ends?
Game 82.
17th. So just 2 days. So the schedule ends on a Thursday and the playoffs start on the Saturday.
Yeah, that's fine.
They are not wasting any time.
I don't think that's super unusual.
Perhaps not. Perhaps not.
I have to get an extra day.
The teams
that play on the Thursday won't usually start until the Sunday.
Sunday or Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're going to have to be some teams that play on Saturday.
You don't have to go with a full schedule on the Saturday. A couple of games for TV, that's all you need.
You need more than a couple of games for TV. You need at least three.
That's fine.
You need one
three
for
out of eight.
You want
less
one
than
for,
half the schedule.
One for the American network in the afternoon, and two for our friends in Canada.
And one of those series may work for both. If you've got a Canada US,
I'm not so sure about that early. Later on, there's going to have to be some coverage of a Canadian team in the United States. But if you can offer a US-US matchup, or, for instance, Dallas-Colorado on the Saturday afternoon for ABC, that would be good.
Anything
I got my old scheduling hat on. Sorry, I just had my scheduling hat there for a second.
Yeah, it doesn't fit you very well, though.
It fits pretty damn good, baby. It fits pretty damn good.
What caught your eye on the weekend? Because there were some developments that occurred, and I'm curious whether you and I are on the same page.
Well, two teams. The St. Louis Blues, who have now won six in a row and are in the playoffs. And the team that's chasing them the best is the Calgary Flames, who won all three games in the tri-state area the last time we were together. So the Devils, the Rangers, and the Islanders all fell to the Calgary Flames, who never fail to amaze me these days. It's a fantastic story.
If I was management, Craig Conroy, I would write them off. Because as soon as people put them off to the side, that group responds.
Well, that didn't seem to work for the Boston Bruins.
No. But the Calgary Flames, that's what I would do to that group. They lost that game in Toronto a week ago.
Yes.
Weren't going in a good way. Turned around in a back-to-back in New York and haven't looked back.
They're amazing. And not only that, everybody kept saying, well, it's going to be on the, it's just going to be on the back of Dustin Wolf. Well, who won the game on the island? Dan Vladar won the game on the island. And they have been very impressive. Michael Backlund's not in the lineup right now. The captain, they miss him. Nazem Kadri has played so well, particularly in those three games in New York and New Jersey. They have become a force. And I still think St. Louis will end up being the second wild card behind Minnesota. But Calgary has two games in hand. And the Blues can't afford now to take a night off. They're you know, and that's what happens, right? You win two, you're in the playoffs. You lose two, people are in panic.
Ottawa and Montreal are in right now. In yeah. some ways, I think Ottawa's more impressive because they had expectations. This was supposed to be.
You think Ottawa's more impressive than Montreal?
Because there was expectations. Montreal's doing it with house money. And having wow. to be able to stand up to, is this finally going to be here? They have to do it. Ottawa, make progress. They've delivered. Not a guarantee that they're in yet, but I've really appreciated what Brady Tkachuk and that group have been able to do. And then they, at the trade deadline, made a couple of moves. Like bringing in Dylan Cousins, I think, is going to be sneaky good now and down the road.
Dylan Cousins has played well. I think you really have to give them credit and some patience for the Linus Ullmark trade. You know, remember, still remember, there's a shot. They played Philadelphia on a Thursday night. They were up 4-1. They had just signed Ullmark to a 4-year extension, and they lost 5-4. And there was a tremendous shot of Steve Staios, Dave Poulin, and Michael Andlauer in their box. And they were staring off into the distance thinking, we just signed this guy to a 4-year extension. And he had been brutal, brutal in the third period. Mm. But let's face it, Ullmark, when you talk about the Brady Tkachuks, you talk about Dylan Cousins now, you talk about what Thomas Chabot looks so good right now, Jake Sanderson. If they don't have Ullmark, they're not anywhere close.
No.
And Ullmark has been a huge difference maker, particularly in the last 2 months. It's been a fantastic story. But Montreal.
No, Montreal's a great story. Oh, I love what they've done. But we weren't penciling them into playoff contention this year. They've done it. And if they don't make it, it's not a big deal. If Ottawa doesn't make it, there's questions. Like, you were supposed to take a step this year.
Yeah, I can see your logic. I don't really use the word logic with you very often, but I can see your logic. It does.
Do you
make
spell it the
sense.
Same?
You probably spell it with a J.
You mentioned Ullmark, his former partner. He's gone the other way.
What did you make of that last night?
I loved it, and I didn't think you were allowed to cross center ice, or you were tossed. The referees gave them a pass on that, but
no, you're not allowed to cross center ice while the play is on.
Well, why would Swayman stop at center ice and call Kemper?
Because he really
now?
Doesn't want to fight. He just wants to create
right
a because I think he wanted to create a distraction because yeah. he's had such a bad second half of the season, as the Bruins have had a bad second half of the season. And maybe, just maybe, we can start something big.
Yes.
You know?
I don't think you're that wrong there. let's cause a scene, but we don't have to drop the gloves.
Right, right. But hey, listen, the team they played last night, Boston and Los Angeles, we have not given the Los Angeles Kings the due they deserve for the season they've had, particularly at home. And I'm not selling them short.
No.
Not necessarily in the playoffs. I'm also not selling them short to win the division, Darren. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Five back with the game in hand.
Yep. So, Do they play each other?
Nope.
One more? No, they don't.
No, LA won three of the four during the regular season, yeah. So they're closer because of
they
winning
just
that
have such a good
series.
Home record, and they have a lopsided home schedule coming. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they had 9 of 13 are at home, and they're so good at home. It's a hell of a story.
Wouldn't that be interesting? It'd be another new Pacific Division winner during the regular season. You've got Vegas and yeah. Vancouver, and if LA could get in there, and the team that's missing, Edmonton, they haven't won a division since the 90s.
And they've done okay.
They haven't won a division since the 90s. Is that not crazy? Or maybe it's the 80s. It's a long time ago.
Early 90s, I think. Early 90s, probably.
Well, we should give LA their due.
Okay, why not? By the way, we should just Congratulate our pal Sam. What a great ceremony Saturday afternoon at the Garden. Sam Rosen. Great to see his three color men that were out there. Joe Micheletti, Phil Esposito, John Davidson.
I love that.
It was cool. Really cool. And thank people in Vancouver are going to be mad at me, but thank goodness they won for Sam. I'm not sure they can win anything else. They won for Sam. And how heartbreaking is it for the Canucks? I mean, the Canucks played a great game, Darren.
Yeah.
A great game.
Coach once told me, got to figure out how to allow less than 10 shots.
Well, they had, the Rangers had 12 shots on goal and won the game.
Won the game. It's good. Wow. Luke Robitaille, there he is. So we're going to slide over to the president of the Los Angeles Kings. And Luke's, I wonder if we'll have any trouble making him laugh.
It could be the other way around, right? You know, because
it's all coming up as we continue 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Lard and Shannon, 100% Hockey, continues with the president of the Los Angeles Kings, Luke Robitaille. It's always good to see your face. You're always so happy. That's what I love about you.
It's a game. I was 8 years old. I was shooting. I remember I used to play with a tennis ball against the wall and knock it out of the air, and I ended up tipping a bunch of pucks in my career, and we're involved with a game. We should be. It should be fun.
There are days, Luke, that it isn't a game, though.
No, I know, but that's what I think we forget. Sometimes I'll walk like the press box and I'll see guys and we're all serious and we get intense and I'll look at guy and go, come on, guys, it's just a game. Just smile. You can enjoy it. And then the guys want to say F you.
Okay, so you're the resident Los Angeles Kings expert right now. You have to explain to me why you're 4 games under 500 on the road and your goal differential is minus 19 and you've lost, I think, just 3 games at home and you're plus 47.
Yeah.
The home ice isn't supposed to be that drastic, is it?
It's kind of funny. Last year we were really, really good on the road. Like I think we did a record last year for the most wins in Kings history, like in a row. And I think we were close to the league record. It's kind of funny. We started with a very heavy road schedule this year. Mm-hmm. And most games that we play on, we've had a few stinker, like where we didn't play well, but most games we were in the games and playing well. And for some reason, like coming back at home, it seems like the way Jim Hiller coaches the matchups and everything, it's played in our favor. And then, as you guys know, like when a team starts believing and then you start going a certain way, it seems to get even better. But I'm not going to say we haven't been good on the road. We haven't won as much on the road, but we've been in most games that we've lost on the road. So I'm not. For some reason, none of us seems to be too worried about that.
So the performance is there, the effort's there. It's just the simple like result.
We went on a stretch last year where we struggled, and unfortunately, we had to make changes. It felt like we were on our heels, and we weren't playing the way we expected to play. But this year, even when we haven't won, we still always feel or look the same, you know, as a team. And I think that's what's really important. You never want to lose your identity as an organization or as a team.
You mentioned Jim Hiller. Boy, what a stroke of genius to take the interim tag off. And you and Rob obviously decided that this guy would do something right. And Hiller certainly has, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a pretty good coach. You know, he's a smart guy, and he learned from Mike Babcock. You know, he I think he was with with Barry Trotz, if I'm not mistaken, and he was with Todd McLellan, obviously. Those are all great coaches. And to learn from these guys, and I think he's taken it and put his own personality into his coaching style. I do think that Jimmy's a really good coach. And one of his biggest qualities that sometimes we don't talk enough, he's a really aware coach behind the bench. And you know, we all know the best coach in our game has always been Scottie Bowman. And that one of his greatest qualities was the kind of coach, the way he handled the bench. And I think that's a really good quality that Jimmy has.
Can you give me an example of that, Luke?
Well, there's an awareness to a coach. Is like, I'll give you an example. You have guys that kill penalties and guys that do power plays. You know, some guys do it all. Like Kopitar for us does it all. But like Jimmy has a way to understand, like if a guy doesn't kill a penalty and you suddenly kill a penalty, he'll come right back and shuffle the lines and suddenly put the guys that weren't on the ice for 2 minutes for a quick shift. And then if you're a player that's a producer and so forth, it keeps you in the game. You don't, because sometimes it's easy to come back and go back to your rotation, whether you're going 1-2-3 or 1-2-3-4. But like Jimmy has a way to find the ice time for the guys that either weren't on the PK or weren't on the PP for the next shift. And then the shift after, just to make sure all the guys stay in the game. And then he goes back to his normal rotation. And I do think over time that favors the rhythm of your forwards.
You know, I was looking at your record. When you talk about a heavy road schedule early, you only have 4 road games left.
Yeah, we're well aware of that.
and 9 at home. First isn't out of the question, is it?
No, I mean, that's, I think as a team, you always want to reach the best place possible. And we understand where we've been the last 3 years, you know, in the playoffs and so forth. But the goal as an organization is not to win the first round or to beat a team in the first round. It's to win the Stanley Cup. So if you have a chance to go higher in the seeding and it gives you home ice advantage throughout the playoffs, it's a huge advantage. So absolutely, that'll be our goal, to move as far up as we can. So we do have a chance right now.
And that first place is the obvious goal, but just getting ahead of Edmonton, let's say, and having home ice would change that head-to-head matchup a little bit from what you've seen.
It changed the head-to-head matchup, I think, mentally, too, when you finish ahead. You know, you're going in. We all know once the playoff starts, after a game, everything is out the door. But just going in and having a good run is probably the most important thing. If I go back in 2012, from the trade deadline on, the LA Kings, even though I think at the deadline we weren't in the playoffs, so we were maybe in by a point, and then we had a really good run till the end of the season. And then by the time we got in the playoffs, we had a rhythm where each guy knew his role, understood their roles, and that's, you know, we ended up winning the cup that way. And that's what you want as a team. If your team could get in the playoffs playing really well, it's really hard to lose that momentum once the playoffs starts.
You get tired of playing Edmonton in the first round?
No, I mean, I'm not tired. I mean, I'm tired of seeing McDavid and Draisaitl. They're so good. But it's like
you wouldn't want to see the format changed?
No, I don't think so. It doesn't matter. I mean, I think we tried 116. I remember the Oilers actually beat Montreal when it was 116 back in the days. It doesn't make sense traveling wise. I think the format is fine. I don't have a problem with that. If you finish first, you meet different team and so forth. So it's hard. It's just hard to get into playoffs in the NHL. Like, I mean, I remember I came in the league, 16 teams made the playoffs out of 21. So that was easy to get in. Now 16 teams out of 32, it's hard for everyone to get in. And every team that gets in is really, really good. There's not one bad team that gets in the playoffs. Anyone has a chance to win. There's always like the top 8 teams that you're like, okay, those teams really have a better chance. But look, we all love the way Florida plays. We all, every hockey person loves how good they are. ago, if Pittsburgh wins against Chicago at home on that Tuesday night, Florida doesn't make the playoffs that year. They never go to finals. It's probably a different team today. That's mm-hmm. how hard our league is. I think people forget that. Like, hey, that was the same team, almost the same guys as today. And if Pittsburgh beats Chicago at home on that, I think it was a Tuesday night, correct?
Yep.
It might be a totally different team, the story's totally different, which that just shows you how hard our league is.
I can't remember what day it is today. Never mind what day it was 2 years ago. So good on YouTube.
Random stuff that I remember some stupid.
Yeah, but you're a hockey nerd, Luke, aren't you? Let's face it. And actually, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for you because that market you're in is so big.
Yeah.
And hockey can get lost in LA. And so how do you keep it relevant?
I think for us is, I always tell people, you have to understand each market. You know, like you go to Montreal, it's different. You got to handle things differently. I think in the U.S., most markets are the same. But L.A., you know, New York, even Chicago, they're big cities. I think the biggest difference between L.A. and Chicago and New York is there's a lot of people that are from back east that end up living here. So it's a little bit different. But you gotta know it's about winning. You got to win. You got to be relevant to win. There's something to do every night. There's 11 teams. So I joke with people that the Rams won the Super Bowl I think it was 3 years ago now. And a week later, everybody had moved on with their life. It was exciting when they won. But you put a football team in the U.S. in most cities that they won the Super Bowl, they might live that for 2 years, you know. Mm. Not in L.A. Like a week later, it seemed like people had moved on about their life quickly.
Edmonton's got the two-headed monster. Vegas, Jack Eichel's having an amazing season. And your team's not going to have a 100-point guy. Why are you so successful?
I think we play hard. We have an identity that it probably comes from to Jonathan Quick and Dustin Brown, like bringing where you play a certain way every night, 200 feet. And now you're looking at a kid like Quinton Byfield mm-hmm. that's playing like this 200 feet game that's very hard to play against. But we have a lot of guys that are going to get to 20 goals. And anytime those guys get hot, suddenly, you know, it works. A 20-goal scorer might have like a 5-6 games lapse. But once they get hot and they get 4 or 5 games in a row, and if you have enough of those guys, you can win. But I do believe the depth of our team is what helps us the best.
Well, and you have two freaks. We really do. They are freaks. And Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty.
Yeah.
Guys that have maintained something from your championship years.
Yeah.
And are still performing at a level, Luke, that I think everybody has to be amazed at. Don't you?
Yeah, Anze is exactly like Patrice Bergeron. I think if you would have flip-flopped their career, like if you put Anze in Boston and Patrice in L.A., they probably would both have the same success. Anze would have the same amount of Selke and so forth. They're both like fantastic players. I know we throw Barkov in there now, and I would agree with that, but the way he plays the game, it's like there's a big face-off. You put on, say, like this year, like Q's taking a little bit of a penalty killing, just to give Anze a break. But he's still, like, you get in a third period. We need a face-off, a key kill. Kopi's there. He's on the first power play. He's still running our number one line. It's incredible. And then you get Drew. Drew's probably gets a little bit more publicity because of all the championship he's won for Team Canada and so forth. But it's incredible how competitive and the type of player and the way they read the game, you know, night in, night out.
Drew gets it because he chatters too much.
Yeah.
he reminds me of Luke Robitaille.
Yeah. He's actually way funnier on the ice than I ever was. He's got some great lines.
I'll tell you my favorite, and he was playing Vegas, and he was in a scrummer in the corner with Nick Waugh. And he grabs Nick Waugh and turns him around and looks at his nameplate and says, "Are you Roy or Waugh?" And Nick Waugh says, "Waugh." And then Drew comes back with, "Screw off, Waugh." And then walks away. Like, I never even thought of something like that.
That's a good one. I never heard that one.
I give Drew all kinds of credit for that. Quinton Byfield, you guys were so patient with him. Mm-hmm. Was it hard at the time listening to all the noise?
No, but we knew, you know, I think people forget, like, when he started, he hurt his ankle, then he got COVID, then he got sick a bunch of time. And I think if I recall, he got hurt again. And I think I give credit to Blakey, like, they were very patient and they said, "Let's go get him more minutes." We sent him back in the American League. And then there was a time where he went back in the American League and he became the number one center. You could see it was coming. And then coming in, I thought it was brilliant to put him with Kopi at wing. He brings so much energy, but it helped him too. There's very few players that come in at 18, 19, 20 that are impactful players. And if they win at that age, most of the time it's on a second or third line, you know, it's very rare that they come in and they're the guys at 19, 20. You can see by the time they're 25, that's when they run a team, or 26, 27. And I think we were lucky. I mean, you know, our whole entire organization was very patient with Gabe Vilardi. We were very patient with many young players, and that over the years we've seen, like, you know, become really good players. And it's a tough thing to do.
Would you have been as patient when you came up as Quinton was? Because you stepped in and you owned it.
But with myself?
Yes.
If they would have said, "Be patient with him," I wouldn't have played in the NHL. As a ninth rounder, I wouldn't have gotten like 2-3 years. If I didn't produce right away, I would have been out of the league. I wouldn't even be here today, guys. I'd be probably a policeman in Montreal eating Tim Hortons. I had to do it right away or I was out. I knew I had no choice.
Well, yeah, you had a pretty good couple guys to play with, Luke. That was the key, right? When you think about what Marcel did.
You think back, and Pat Quinn was was our head coach, and he put Dave Taylor with Jimmy Carson, and he put me with Marcel to make sure, like, we were protected. And how lucky were we to get these guys to take, kind of protect us. And, like, I remember Marcel talking to me on the bench while being patient and so forth. And it was going to come, because you come out a junior, you think you're going to score every shift, you know, and then it's the NHL, it's hard. It's totally different. So that really was a big difference maker for us.
You know, it's funny. I loved Pat. He was so good to all of us. I had forgotten about his tenure in LA, and then of course, he jumped ship and went to Vancouver.
Yeah, that was that year. I think it happened in February or so forth, and he was suspended, and then he started back with Vancouver in the summer. But he was really good to us, the young guys. It was
continuing our conversation
with Jimmy Carson.
Yeah,
this year.
Continue the discussion with Luke Robitaille, president of the Los Angeles Kings, on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm still laughing about being the cop and Tim Horton.
I was going to say, you haven't stopped chuckling since then.
I'd be complaining about the Canadians that don't know what to do. That's what you do when you're in Montreal. You don't see any other team. You just complain about the Canadians.
Although I'll tell you what, Montreal Canadiens fans, Luke, They deserve a medal. They have been so patient.
Yeah.
For three or four. I would put it to you that I don't think any other fan base would be as patient as Montreal fans. Your fans wouldn't be this patient in LA.
Well, they have. You know, we went through a rebuild and they...
You won two Stanley Cups in the last 15 years.
Oh, you're right. But look at... Same thing with Toronto. I mean, people forget that Toronto went through a rebuild, and it's hard to do. Like, no one believed that Toronto could go through a rebuild, and they did. I know they haven't won, and people from the Maple Leaf, but they're a good team. Every year, they get in July, they're like, okay, what can we do to win the Cup this year? It's hard to win the Stanley Cup, but when you have a team that has a chance to win the Cup every year, and you believe that's when you know you have a chance, and they've done a good job there. And Montreal's coming too.
Serious question. Do we have to realign our expectations because now there is 32 teams? Is it realistic to say we got to win a Stanley Cup, or is getting to a second round or a third round or even a final good enough?
I think every team that gets in the playoffs, their goal should be to win the Cup. And they should get the pressure from the fans. There's nothing wrong with that. That should be their expectations. But that being said, there's only one team that can win it all. So, you could be mad at some guys and something happened. But we all know hockey, but we forget. Even in management, you forget. Like, guys play hurt all the time. And sometimes there's some injuries you can play better hurt, and sometimes you have to cheat to play hurt. And no one knows that. And then that does change your game no matter what. And you might have like a big name playing on your team that's hurt, and you get mad at the end of playoffs because they didn't have as good a playoff. But then you find out a week later they have surgery, and people forget. We all forget. Trust me, because even the coaches forget how quickly. Like a guy will come back the first game, he's hurt. He's like, oh, he's got courage. He plays amazing. Two games later, he benches him. Like, he take him off the power play because he's not jumping on loose pucks or something. Like, we all do. But it's a hard game. But I do believe there's nothing wrong with the pressure of saying, my team needs to win the Cup this year. But I wouldn't lower the expectations. I would just, at some point, you got to be realistic. And I tell people, like, what makes it that makes it different, especially for players' families and coaches' family, is social media. That's the hardest thing. That's 25 years ago, if your team lost, you went in the kitchen after the game, you were mad at the coach and this player. You went to bed the next day, you talked about it at work. Now, you tweet it, and there might be 1,000 people that see it, and then it's more their family members, and so on. It makes it hard for them.
Couple of things. How has your building changed with the Clippers not there? Has that have had any effect?
Yeah, it's been better for us scheduling-wise. We're able to, we're trying to put our game at 6 p.m. on Saturday just to help our fan. But at the same time, we get more dates. Like, one of the biggest things that it's hard about scheduling a team in the NHL is usually you do it a year prior. You submit your dates, and you got to submit an amount of date. And then over the years, we've never been able to submit the right amount of dates for LA. So now, the more dates you can submit, the easier it is for Steve Atsipetros to schedule your team. So from that standpoint, it's helping us. Now, I say that, like, you look at next year, we got the Olympic breaks where we're 2 weeks out. And then for us, we're 2 weeks out prior to that because of the Grammy awards shows. So it makes it's always hard for our building, but not having two basketball teams gives us a few extra days during the week that we can submit.
And the fires. How are the fires? What's the ramifications now? Because listen, not much development has happened since it's happened. And you guys have been very resourceful in trying to help.
Yeah, we, like every team in LA, we all tried to help. It was kind of funny that this is the first Sunday we've ever had open. We were able to do that alumni celebrity game, and we did real well. It was really good for the city, for the spirit of the city, and and so forth. It was really hard. It's now that we're starting to hear more stories of how people are still struggling and so forth. Now, last week, we did get some good news that right away, there were some permits allowed for people to rebuild. Mm-hmm. But they're still in the cleanup phase. In Malibu, they block half of the road because they're still, I think they're in for a few months of just cleaning up. And from that standpoint, I think we're 4 to 5 years away until there's a full rebuild. I do know because push to make it quick, but I hope it does. It's very sad, though, that we have a lot of friends. It doesn't matter to what level you are in life. Like, you still lose everything you have when your house burns, you know? So some people, they're in the movie business. They lost everything they've ever had, they ever owned, and they ended up renting a home or renting an apartment, and then they're hoping they can rebuild. They're not sure. And then it's been very difficult on people.
Did you have any of your staff or anything have direct reflection on what happened there?
We had a couple staff members, like one of the kid that actually works, and we manage a bunch of rinks here, so was there, and it was his family home they lost. But mostly friends or people that we know, and in both area, like it was a lot of people from there. We had some AG people that lost their homes there too. And it's but all when I talked to my friends, it was. There's a shortage of homes to rent to, so that made it very, very hard for people to find places after.
The response at the charity game was incredible from every angle of Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was. We were fortunate. It seemed it's one of those things that everybody would call said yes, so it became really easy, and it was a great thing. And, we had Will Ferrell and Vince Vaughn and Danny DeVito's coaches, and Al Michaels came, and Snoop. It was great. But we saw Will because he's a season seat holder. And the other day, Michael Terry, that works with me, wanted to say thank you for the event. And he did. He said it best. He goes, for 4 hours, it was something the city needed. Because it was televised locally, it was about having fun, and then we had all first responders in the stands, so everybody just kind of got to relax and have fun. So that, from that standpoint, I hadn't thought about that, but it was really cool.
Love the fact that you just dropped Snoop in there too.
I know, yeah.
I thought Snoop was a Ducks fan.
Yeah, Snoop is a sports fan altogether. Yeah. he does owe us because we were the first group to put him to do color.
Yes.
Like about 6 years ago or something. Like that was his first try in the sport into doing color. So he did like a whole period. And he couldn't say Dion Phaneuf's name back in those days. It was kind of funny. But that's kind of made it that he ended up doing all this stuff for other sports. So he's grateful for us.
you brought up Dion. He's working with you, AG, yeah. And your alumni, a lot of the guys from the 12-14 team involved in hockey operations or in the scouting part of it. It has continued to be a very tight group in the organization. How did that happen, and was it conscious?
I think there's a couple of things for me that changed. Like when I went to, I was very fortunate to play for the Rangers and the Red Wings. And these organizations, the original six, they always have really good alumni. And if you guys remember in 2007, when Tim Leiweke hired me to run the business, I was trying to change the culture of the Kings. And obviously, in our league, there's always the original six. It's very special. And then Dean Lombardi was always talking about hiring some alumni, so we would have like a something that meant something for the organization. So he started that, like hiring like a few alumni that could come around. But I do recall going to meet Mr. Schneider with the Flyers. And I remember thinking, like, I'm sick and tired of everyone treating the Flyers like they're an original six. Like, everybody treats the Flyers because they have an aura. They're so special, the Flyers. There's something very special about their fans, you know, the Broad Street Bullies and everything. So I went and met with Mr. Schneider, and he was talking to me about his philosophy and, like how much he loves the Flyer. That's his that was always his baby. And walking around the office, I saw all these offices of Bill Barber and some of the guys, and Homer was there and so forth. And I remember thinking, that's what it is. Like, he hires alumni. Like, they're around all the time. So if you're a young Flyers and you see these guys, like Bobby Clark was around, and it makes your franchise, it elevates your franchise. So we kind of came back and started, you know, getting more guys. And then we're fortunate, like Jared Stoll, Matt Green, they live here. So they've been working with us. And now, you know, we have Glenn Murray, Nelson Emerson, Sean O'Donnell, Mike Donnelly way back. And we bring back a lot of guys. But there's a lot to learn from Mr. Schneider, the passion he had for the Flyers and treating the alumni the right way. You know, and you're never perfect on doing everything, but that does go a long ways.
Will Ferrell's funny. I'll give him that. But Matt Green, I think, could outdo him. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met.
He not as loud as Will.
No.
But Matt Green, you're right. His one-liners, it's like it's hard to beat. He's really quick.
Hey, based on what you talked about with bringing back former players and the business side, where are you in your marketplace? I mean, the challenge in Los Angeles is Shohei Ohtani,
yeah,
the USC Trojans, the UCLA Bruins, not just another baseball team, two basketball teams. How do you manage through that?
Here's where we're at. Like, so I think what's really important when you manage any teams, you have to understand your market. So in our market, we know there's roughly 2 million hockey fans. There's about 1.5 million Kings fans, okay?
That's when Jack Kent Cook said, yeah, there's 2 million hockey fans, but 1.5 million hate hockey.
Because Jack kept trading everybody away. God bless his soul. No, but it's you have to. So there's no reason for us to compete with the Dodgers or the Lakers or anything. It's about doing what we could do best, which is build our team and go compete, because it's LA, because it doesn't matter what team it is. If you're not doing good, you're just doing something else. But when we focus on who we are and then we have success, then suddenly it's 5, 6, 7 million people will start following us. Because, yeah, you do jump on the bandwagon, but you do it with every team in LA because there's so many options. So I think staying focused, making sure our fans understood, example, when we were going to do a rebuild, we made sure they knew what we were going to do. Now, when you say you're gonna rebuild, I mean, you're basically telling your fans, we're not going to be good, or we're going to suck for the next couple of years. So they knew that. And then we started talking to them about the young guys and so forth. And then when it start turning, those are your best marketers. They're telling everyone in parties and in LA and so forth. LA, New York, like I said, they're big, big cities. So you got to know where your pocket is and really focus on that pocket. And then when you have success, your pocket goes a little wider.
What is success this year for the LA Kings?
We're trying to win the last game of the year, you know, like I think because we're in LA, maybe people forget that we still have 5 young guys on our team, like Clarkey, Q's under 23, Laferriere is under, Akil Thomas has been in and out, but he's still coming. Turcotte is really playing his first year full time. And, you know, we kind of looked at it the other day, of all the teams in the playoffs, it's us in Ottawa that have a lot of young guys. So success is you're trying to go as far as you can in the playoffs and win the last game of the year. And it's not about winning around, you know, like, yeah, once you win around, you got to be happy, but you got to win the next one. And yeah, that's the way your young guys are going to learn. But we're well aware that we still have like 5 young players on our team that are still learning day in and day out.
What was your reaction to the meeting of the goaltenders at center ice?
It's one of those, after the game, like, we were like, come on, let him go, because it's always fun, you know. But Jim Miller said, you don't want your guys to get hurt doing that. I was like, oh yeah, he's right. I wouldn't want Darcy to get hurt if that would have happened. I don't know, I was a little I was a little surprised that Swayman, like, it came out of his net to, because the guy ran into Darcy. So, yeah, I would be pissed off. He was leaning against the post. So he could have hurt his shoulder. So I get it why he got emotional. And it's part of the game, though. That it kind of made it fun to watch for a second. It's always fun to see goalies fights, like of all the ones we remember in our time. But you just don't want your guy to get hurt. I told our guy, I go, Darcy's smart. He kept his mask on.
Yes.
I got to tell you, you know, the Dubois-Kemper trade in the end was one. Now it's helped both clubs. But for you guys to find a goalie of that standard has made a huge difference for your club.
Yeah, he's been really, really good. And he's just played a steady game all year. He's made some, you know, he saves when we needed them, but his steadiness and kind of settling down on team has been really good. And we needed a goalie. We needed a goalie to come in this year and play that way, especially the way we play. And look, for us with PL, we wanted him. We got him expecting what he's doing this year. And sometimes it's hard because maybe, like, on our team, like, Philip Deneau was playing really well in Kopi, and it was kind of hard just to find his pocket. You know, as a player, getting that extra minute of ice time here and there plays with your confidence, and he's playing exactly what we expected him to play. Good for him. I'm very happy for him. This is one of those trades that worked out for both teams.
Well, and it takes a lot of guts to move on from a big trade like that quickly. And yeah, you did that. You made the decision, and that's hard to do, Luke.
Yeah, I give the credit to Blakey. I mean, it was one of those things that you know, we had to pull the trigger, and you know, like, I remember sitting in a room and made sure, like, it was like everybody was on board. But at the end of the day, it was his decision, and then probably too, we kind of knew Q was coming. You know, like, so that's that part of having that second, third line center that could play there, like, that helped a little bit, because there's only so much cap space. So we were going to struggle to get a goalie no matter what.
Got to admit, I always thought of Marty McSorley as the best policeman on the LA Kings. But now I've learned Luke Robitaille was going to be a policeman, too.
Way different.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Great talking to you guys. Love what you guys do for our game.
I'm glad you brought up the conversation about the horrific events of the wildfires, because I'm an arm's length from California, but I know several people that had their homes affected by it. And I would consider myself part of the inner circle. So I can't imagine what Luke and Jared Stoll and some of my friends that live in that area had to endure, even though they themselves physically weren't affected.
Well, in many ways, it's not a hockey story, but in many ways, you get a real feel for what responsibility professional sports has in a community when they can help, you know, and it wasn't just the Kings. It was the Lakers, the Clippers, it was the Dodgers and the Angels and the Rams. I mean, all the pro sports teams banded together to help. I mean, I think Luke brought up a really good point. It's not over yet. There's still some issues in that area. But it's always a great reminder for all of us that, you know, you have to be involved in your community to be successful, and you have to understand your market to be successful. I think Luke Robitaille, I mean, I was around when Luke joined the league, played in the league for multiple teams. If somebody said, by the way, Luke Robitaille is going to be the president of a hockey club one day, I would have told them they were full of it. And I think that, and he gave Tim Leiwicki credit, but Luke has done a magnificent job there in morphing himself from a former player into somebody that's really become a quality businessman, a quality community man, and working for a giant company like AEG has in many ways become the constant face of the franchise. And it's kind of cool. It really is kind of cool to see that.
Patrick O'Neill, our buddy who hosts the LA King games, he was affected with their house on the ocean, and the pictures that Patrick shared with the world were just heartbreaking. Yeah. And he's done some incredible work in getting different celebrities on board and being part of that charity game. So, Patrick, we've been thinking about you.
There are, and I mean, it's not just the fires in Los Angeles. It's what's happening across the country and in other areas. And the wildfires that we saw in Quebec and Ontario and Alberta over the last few years. You know, it's making sure you give back to the community, making sure you give back to your neighbors and being a good neighbor.
On the subject of LA King broadcasters, Darrell Evans and the Suits, like, are they not incredible? If people have not checked out Darrell Evans or know about his attire, it's, I would say, a flashier Don Cherry in a way, like more. How would you put it?
Well, I don't think there'd be Darrell Evans and his clothes if it weren't for Don.
That's fair.
I think Don set the stage for guys like Darrell, guys like Barry Melrose. Mm-hmm. Same thing. So,
why didn't you do that when you were on TV at Sportsnet?
You don't think I did?
I think you and I should do a day where we just go all out.
Yeah, maybe the first time one of our shows is full video on the web. How's that? Mm-hmm. Full video on the web.
I got something in store for you. You're going to love it, buddy.
Yeah, as long as you wear a mask, it'll be good.
Oh, you know what? You and I should do that. Have a goalie fight and just have our fingers inside the cage and just be ripping each other's heads around.
I'm old enough to remember there were no masks, so I'm going to go and play without a mask.
I'm fine. If you want to do that in a scrap with me, I'm fine with it. Take that,
John. I don't know why you'd ever take your mask off.
No, exactly.
Why would you ever take your mask off?
That's goofy. Thanks, John.
Cheers.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.